friends and family, members of the community, within the healing embrace of God's love, we have gathered here on this 17th day of July to remember and offer back to God the life of Lynn Smythe, and to thank God for the hope we have because of Christ's resurrection. A few announcements as we begin this evening. If you have not already done so, please silence your cell phones. Following the worship service, there will be a reception hosted by the deacons of Gates Presbyterian Church out the doorways this way, down the hall, and there on your right. It is room 2. And the family would also like to invite all of those who would like to a wonderful pub in Fairport. You will find the address located on the back of your bulletin for dinner. Now let us worship God and hear these words from Scripture. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Please join me in a time of prayer. Our Lord and Savior, hear the call of your people who mourn anywhere this day, and grant your peace and comfort of your presence, so that the living may be reminded that you are ever with your people, and we who remain in the wake of death are charged with continuing what your disciples have begun and sustained. May we bring honor and glory to you, as well as those who inspired us, who loved us, who raised us and nurtured us in our faith in their service to you. Amen. Please stand as you are comfortable and able, and join together in the call to worship that is printed in your bulletin. Blessed are the poor, for whom God has promised the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are you who weep now. Blessed are the pure in heart. In this time of remembrance, we give thanks to God for all who bless us.
Thank you.
may be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. But your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord, my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you a little bit longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. But I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The second section of scripture from the Gospel of John this evening is set within the larger context of Holy Week, the celebration of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem has occurred, and now Jesus gathers his friends in an upper room where it may have been a little warm and a little stuffy to share a final meal with them. And during this meal, Jesus rises and gives thanks to God and begins to wash the feet of his disciples. He lovingly cares for them and shows them what God's love looks like in a very tangible way. And as they begin to leave the room, Jesus looks at them and says, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." We remember in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, he shows us in word and deed that God is love, and that we, as God's children, are loved. He demonstrates that nothing, neither life nor death, can separate us from that love. Now, sometimes that command Jesus speaks of love seems challenging, and we assume it's an ideal, a lofty goal that none of us will ever really reach. And while none of us may be able to ever love perfectly, when we are loved by someone in our life so completely, we remember the source of all love. This evening, we gather to give thanks to God for all the ways we have experienced God's love through Lynn Smythe. And Nancy asked that I share these words with you that she wrote about Lynn's life. Nancy first wants to thank you all for being here, for helping her and the family to celebrate Lynn's life. And she writes, for those of you who knew Lynn well, you know that he was unpretentious and humble and would not like all the attention of this memorial service. Sorry, Lynn, Nancy overruled. Lynn was born in Chicago, Illinois, to Hugh and Elizabeth Smythe. He was named after his dad's brother. Yes, Lynn, she wrote about this, and she wants us to tell you all that his full name was Elmo Lynn Smythe. And with a name like that, he was destined to have a sense of humor. Lynn was the only boy, the youngest child. He was adored by his parents and his two sisters, Donna and Jean. As a boy growing up in the Chicago suburb of River Grove, Lynn had curly red hair and lots of freckles. And of course, he loved baseball, especially the Chicago Cubs. And he loved cars and was driving, apparently before it was legal for him to. And when Lynn was in high school, his family moved to Watertown, Wisconsin, where he fell in love with small-town America. He had so many friends. He played shortstop on the high school baseball team and loved cruising town in his coupe that he rebuilt himself. Lynn had this ideal childhood, the kind you can only picture in a Norman Rockwell photo. The only thing he had to complain about was going to church twice on Sundays and on Wednesday evenings. His parents shared a very strong Christian faith, and Lynn often cried when he spoke about the beauty of his dad's prayers. He loved both his parents dearly, but his gentle dad was his idol. And he prayed he would become a man like his pop. Lynn attended the University of Wisconsin at River Falls. He was a very shy, naive boy whose mom sewed his name in his underwear and packed him up with homemade goodies and reminded him to, yes, go to church. And Lynn followed his parents' example, found a church near the college, and later he would tell how the pastor talked him into singing a duet in front of the congregation. And apparently, if you've ever heard Lynn sing, you would know that had to be very funny. Now, Lynn never had an alcoholic beverage before attending college, but that changed when he joined a fraternity. Can you imagine what the brothers thought of this freckle-faced boy? And later in life, Lynn loved to tell the stories of pledging, ice sculpture contests, and close friendships he made with his fraternity brothers. It took Lynn 5 years to graduate from college. Perhaps the fraternal traditions were a bit too fun for him. He would often say that his dad seemed to take it in strides as he wrote yet another check for college. Lynn never thought about it until later in life. What a sacrifice that must have been for him. Lynn graduated with a degree in education and intended to teach math. This plan changed as he deliberately avoided the Vietnam War and was recruited to become a programmer on a Navy base near Philadelphia. In Philadelphia, another Elizabeth came into Lynn's life. He married Liz in 1971. They both loved old houses and antiques and had two homes in Philadelphia. This is where Lynn was a regional sales manager for Triad Computer Services. And in 1974, they welcomed Jeremy Lynn, Little Mo. And in 1975, Aaron Elizabeth, Yaz. They moved to Cazenovia, New York in 1980, where Lynn worked for COS Computer Systems. Lynn traveled a great deal for his work, but he managed to coach Jeremy's baseball teams and attended Aaron's many dance recitals. Straightforward and honest, Lynn never denied his faults. And when he and Liz separated amicably, he blamed only himself and deeply regretted this hurt to his family. In 1989, Lynn met his secretary's roommate at Riley's, his favorite Irish pub. And her name was Nancy. Lynn and Nancy found that they had a lot in common. They both were babies in their families with two devoted older sisters. They also both loved Syracuse University sports, but apparently Lynn would never wear the orange attire while Nancy would be head to toe in it. And he would teach her about her spirit and nicknamed her the cheerleader. And it wasn't long before Lynn and the cheerleader fell in love and married. Aaron and Jeremy were teenagers at the time and easily accepted Nancy into their family. Liz and Nancy also became friends, sharing holidays and special occasions as one family. And although Lynn already had two children, he told Nancy that he would never deny a woman he loved the blessing of having a baby. And in 1994, that blessing was fulfilled as Murphy Ann Muffin was born. To Nancy's relief, Lynn knew all about babies. He was a confident and capable dad who taught Nancy everything about taking care of Murphy. It was then that Lynn's true calling was revealed. He was meant to be the head of his household, a loving caregiver, Mr. Mom. And when Murphy was only 4 months old, Lynn needed brain surgery to remove a benign tumor. And after his surgery, Lynn did not return to work, but took on this new role, taking care of Murphy and her mom. And he was great at it. He didn't mind being the only dad on Murphy's playdates and school field trips. He knew her principals and teachers at St. Helen's School very well. Lynn was so easy to know And ironically, it was Lynn who now became the cheerleader for Nancy. When she lacked confidence, he told her she could do it. When she was worried, he'd tell her to keep perspective. The Presbyterian home was really getting the benefit of two for one, as Lynn was Nancy's cheerleader and coach, listening every night to her stories about work and guiding her to make the best decisions. He had such faith in Nancy and supported her unconditionally. Now, Lynn had promised Nancy one baby. God had another plan. When Hugh Daniel, Danny Boy, was born in 2000. Wow, Nancy writes. To say Danny was a surprise would be an understatement. A surprise and one of their greatest joys. When Danny was a baby, Lynn could never be far from him without very loud protests. They were so close. And in 2001, Lynn's mom came to live with them as she needed more support and care. She died in their home at the age of 92. And that same year, Nancy's mom moved in with them as her health failed. And Lynn loved Annie and was her caregiver until she died in 2005. Yes, caregiving, showing God's love, was Lynn's calling. He had become the gentle, sweet man, so much like his pop. And Lynn loved everything Irish, except the food. His favorite pub was Riley's in Syracuse, and he loved Italian food, though, and thought maybe next time around he might be Italian. He loved the Thousand Islands, the freighter ships, long nights with family and friends laughing on the porch. He loved coffee and wine. And more wine. And he loved Avalon, New Jersey because his family loved Avalon, New Jersey, and he loved antiques, cars, happy hour, and good food. He loved family traditions. Lionel trains under the Christmas tree. Letters to Santa. Family meetings. Coffee in the morning and wine on the deck, wine by the fire. Did he like wine everywhere? He loved catalog shopping and was very generous on spending money on others. And everyone learned from Lynn that the most expensive items had to be the best, apparently like the $300 coffee maker he just bought. Oh, Linny. Lynn was friendly, and he made friends with everyone that he met. He loved his pharmacy friends at Rite Aid and his cashier friends at Wegmans, who he would have swapped recipes with. He embraced everyone who walked into his home with this great big hug and a kiss. And he always told them, "I love you," when they left. Lynn was perhaps most loved for his sense of humor. He was very funny, always making people laugh. Yet he was also very sentimental, and he cried every time he had to say goodbye, every time he heard a sad song, and every time he spoke of his dad. Lynn loved the simple pleasures of life, And topping his bucket list was owning a home of his very own in a village like he grew up in. And Lynn bought that house in Fairport in March. And Nancy and the kids just moved in this week. The deliveries seemed to keep coming as he planned for every room in this house. His imprint is on every old clock that doesn't work, every antique that has a story, every picture that has special meaning. And a yes, every kitchen accessory known to mankind. This house was part of his plan, as was the four-wheel drive vehicle, so that Nancy would always be safe in the snow. Lynn was always the head of the house, always the caregiver, always showing love. And as Lynn struggled these past weeks, it was Murphy who said, "I know what Dad wants me to do with my life." And Nancy believes that you all know. Lynn was always direct and shared his hopes and his dreams with you. So to the Boyce sisters, he would say, "Try to drink the wine without adding the ginger ale. Keep the sponges properly separated. And watch over my Nancy." And to his grandchildren, Haley, Colin, Ryan, Kate, and littlest Brendan, he would say, "Know that I love you. I'm still with you, your guardian angel in heaven." And to his children, Jeremy, Aaron, Murphy, and Danny, he would say, "Thank you. You have each made me proud and are my greatest legacy. Know that I love you with all my heart. And no dad could ever love his kids any more than I do. Please keep our traditions. Keep our family strong. And talk to me on occasion, for I'll be with you." To Nancy, he would say, "Together, we wrote the book on true love. Keep talking to me with your morning coffee. Be confident and strong, for I have faith in you. And although our time together was too brief, remember we shared a love that many can only dream about. Celebrate your blessings. Be happy. Always feel my love in your heart." And to all his friends and all his family, Lynn would say, "Fill your wine glass a little too full. Laugh a little too loud. And love your family with all your heart. And may God bless you all until we meet again." Again from Nancy and the whole family, thank you for helping them to remember and to celebrate the love that God shared with him and that Lynn shared with so many. Thanks be to God. seated. Please join with me in a time of prayer. Gentle God, Creator and Savior, Giver and Redeemer of all life and love, we praise you that we are made in your image and reflect your truth and light. We thank you for the life of your child, Lynn Smythe, for the love he received from you and showed among us. Hold and sustain Lynn's family and all those who have surrounded him with love during his life. For his wife, Nancy, and their family, Jeremy and Aaron, Murphy and Dan. For Lynn's grandchildren, for the many relatives and friends. Hear us now, O God, as we silently give you thanks for our own personal memories of Lynn. Today and always, we praise your name for sharing Lynn with us. Spirit of life, our love and hope is in you. That through Lynn's life, that though Lynn's life has ended here on earth, we trust he is united with you in a place where there will never be an end to love. It is in your name we pray together, using the words of our own traditions, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive others. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
in the end, it won't matter how much we have, but how generously we have given. And it won't matter how much we know, but rather how well we live. And it won't matter how much we believe, but how deeply we love. God has given us life through Christ, and we have been given new life. And we now commend Lynn Smythe to God's merciful care in the faith of Christ our Lord, who died and rose again to keep loving us, and who now reigns with God and the Holy Spirit now and forever. And so may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord keep all those whom you love, whether here or in some other place. And may God be your companion and you be God's friend as you walk together through all the days of your life. And at journey's end, may we all find the welcome of God's love. It keeps us all, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.